Very thankful. God has been faithful all these years, and for those that are still searching and seeking, God has something for us every day and every time we come together. Well, tonight we're in the 18th Psalm, and this is a long one, so we're not even going to probably attempt to go through the whole thing, but and so this one I'm probably just going to take verse by verse. Now I want to point out that this 18th Psalm is essentially a copy, I guess I'll say, of what's in 2 Samuel 22. And I'm going to turn back to 2 Samuel 22 for just a minute because I want to read the very first verse, and then we'll go back to Psalm 18. But the very first verse of 2 Samuel 22 says, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul." Now, you have to go back to the previous chapter to understand kind of some of what's going on there. But so this is a song that David wrote. It says he spake. Either he wrote it or somebody was there and wrote it for us. Thank the Lord. And I will tell you that if you read Psalm 18 and you read that 22nd chapter of 2 Samuel, it's not identical. Okay, so don't get concerned about that. People sometimes get concerned about those things. Don't get concerned about that. These were written at different times. One was written then, and then it was rewritten. So don't worry about that. They're very, very, very close, very small differences, and there's no difference in the meaning or the intent of the words. So I don't know if your Bible puts a title at the top of the Psalms like mine does. And mine just says this, a Psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and the hand of Saul, which essentially is what it said in that first verse of 2 Samuel 22. So this is just, in my Bible, they put a title on the top of these Psalms, and this one also says, to the chief musician, which I like that. I don't know, I see that at the top of some of these Psalms, and I like that, to the chief musician. It's a good thought. So David writes, speaks this song as he realizes God has freed him, has delivered him from the hand of his enemies and also from the hand of Saul. And so this is really a song of praise. And I want to, we're going to notice a few things as we go through it, kind of some of the thoughts about how he goes about this. So we're just going to read verse by verse and go through this, but Lord willing, we'll get down to about the middle of it maybe tonight. Verse 1 of Psalm 18, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." So he starts out, "I will love thee, O Lord." So again... A reminder to me, and something important, I think, is these songs are written to the Lord. This is David pouring out his heart. And in this particular case, it's a psalm of praise, and so he's pouring out his heart to the Lord. And so as we read these, we can consider that this might be also the song of our heart to the Lord. "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength." David, even though he was a mighty warrior, in his own right, if you will, he always recognizes that his strength comes from the Lord. And you don't have to go very far to figure that out. When he went up against Goliath, he didn't rely on his own strength because he recognized that it wasn't sufficient for that giant that was in front of him. But his strength came from the Lord. And he always recognizes that his strength comes from the Lord. And so his dependence then, of course, is on the Lord. And in verse 2, he takes it further because he uses multiple thoughts to express the confidence he has in his God and the value of this. And so he says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." My rock and my fortress and my deliverer. A rock is a place that is steadfast and sturdy. We think about building on the rock and so on. That's stable. And The fortress is a place of security, a place of safety. And so he's using these different things to express his thoughts about what God means to him and why this is so important. And he's also his deliverer. He knows that all these times that he was delivered. By the way, if you go into that 21st chapter of 2 Samuel, you'll find that in that chapter, David was almost killed there. He was very weak, and they were upon him. And one of his mighty men came to his rescue there, or you might say God sent one of his mighty men to his rescue. But so he recognizes that, you know, you think about that. He writes this right after that. He was weak there, and he recognizes that it was only the Lord that gave him any strength, and it's only the Lord that allows him to be stable, if you will, and to give him safety and to deliver him. Yes, one of his mighty men came, if you will, to the rescue, but again, he recognizes that God is the one that sent that person to deliver him, because if you think about the battle, it could easily have been a different way because somebody might not have noticed what was going on or something, but God is the one that delivers. And so no matter how our deliverance comes, no matter what the method that God uses to bring our deliverance, we need to recognize that he is the one that delivers us. And then this, it goes on, my God, and this is so important. I thought about this in line with kind of our lesson this morning about God's sovereignty. David doesn't just treat God like some kind of lucky charm kind of thing. But David has a true relationship. And so he says, my God. And we've talked about this before. When David, if you will, gets personal with God. And I think it's important. And it's something we need to take to heart. That there's a personal relationship between us and our God. And so he's not just a God or just some God, but rather he's my God. And, you know, you can know him in a lot of ways. We can know God as the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is all those things. He was to them. But even more importantly, he is today. He is my God. He's my strength in whom I will trust. And so, I noted all the personal thoughts here. All of this is very personal with David, and I appreciate that thinking because we want to not get into the idea that somehow this is sort of an impersonal thing that we all just kind of, you know, are part of some group and that's the way it kind of works, you know, but rather that each one of us takes this personally as well to recognize in my life that my God is my strength and I will trust in him. Not because others trusted in him, not because somebody told me I had to trust in him, but I trust in him because I have a personal relationship and I know that he's my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. And he goes on, he's my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. It seems like David wants to use every possible thought about the importance of God to him to express this. He wants to use everything, every kind of image, if you will, that he can to express how important God is to him and how much he trusts in his God. And so we also can, by the way, know God in all these different ways as well because these things express different things that we need to think about, but we can know him in all these ways as our salvation and our high tower and our fortress and our rock and all these things that David mentions, not just here, but in other Psalms as well. These are all ways in which we can come to know our God as we have a personal relationship with him. Verse 3, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. And so he reminds us where he goes, and we always know this about David. He knows where to go. He knows who to call. And he says, I will call upon the Lord. And he gives this little thought, right, as he writes that. So I will call upon the Lord, and then who is worthy to be praised. And I thought about who that is. God is worthy to be praised. And not because he does this or does that for us, but God is worthy to be praised because he is God. This is another one of the thoughts from God about God's sovereignty is, God is worthy to be praised because he is God. We are grateful and exceedingly grateful for the things God has done and is doing and will do for us. But God is worthy of praise. And we need to remember that, because that doesn't change no matter what the circumstance is. See, sometimes the circumstances change on us and we get a little bit down about that. And some people get a little angry at God when the circumstances go the way they don't want them to. But God is worthy to be praised. And that's irrespective of whatever circumstance we find ourselves in. And he recognized, of course, that God is the one that saves him from his enemies. I will call upon the Lord. This continual, you know, Paul encourages us to be continually in prayer. And I use kind of that word continually. He says, pray always. To remind us that it's not so much that you're making, you know, praying, if you will, every second of the day, but it's a continual attitude of communion with the Lord. And so he says, I will call upon the Lord. And this should be our continual position, if you will, that we are calling upon the Lord. And in particular, that we call upon the Lord in all circumstances, not just when we think we can't do it anymore. See, a lot of people, that's kind of their method is, well, I can't do this anymore, so now I guess I better call on the Lord. And it's good for us to call on the Lord before we get to the point of I can't do it anymore. He will bring us to that point many times, by the way, to the point of recognizing that we can't do it anymore. But we should have already been calling on him, not waiting for that point to arrive in our lives. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. And so his call, by the way, and this is another important thing, and Paul bears this out also, that we bring our supplications to the Lord with thanksgiving. And that is so that there is an attitude of praise when we're calling upon the Lord. David called upon the Lord because he was in dire need at different times, but always there is praise that goes with that. And our calling upon the Lord, if you will, should always be accompanied with praise because he is worthy of that praise. And then he tells us in verse 4 where he had found himself. This is a little different than some of them where some of them he writes kind of when he's in the middle of that. This is more of here is where I was and what God's done. And so a few of these verses here. But he says in verse 4, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. And so you can consider that David was in the battle. At one point, like I said, he was very near being killed by the enemy. And David certainly knew that. And there was more than one time when David probably felt like he was at that point through his life. The sorrows of death compassed me. They were all around me. And the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me or were upon me, were overcoming me, the thought there. And then he said, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. And so again, there's a very personal aspect of this. David, in these times that he suffered in different ways, and many of these times he was in battle and there wasn't just him, but you still see the personal aspect of this. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. It's like David saying, I had the ear of God. I spoke and I had his attention. I had his ear. And I like that thought because we need to be reminded that God is not he's not unable to hear each individual cry. See, we're not capable of that kind of thing, so sometimes it's hard a little bit for us to comprehend it, but if too many people are talking to us, we just can't take it all in. You know, maybe one, maybe two people at the most. By the time you get three, you're not understanding any of it anymore or taking any of it in. Not God. God is attent to each individual. And when we speak to him, when we go to him, again, in earnest prayer, then he hears our cry. In a previous chapter, when we started that out in the very first verse, he speaks about, Lord, give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. In other words, it comes out of the sincerity of his heart. And he says, Lord, give ear to my prayer. Again, very personal aspect of this that David brings about to us. Back in our chapter in verse 6, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. And then he goes on in the next few verses to tell us that God responded, if you will. Verse 7, then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also, the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down. The darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. At the brightness that was before him, thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. So all these things that he gets, and again, you have to appreciate David's use of words to express something. He's trying to express the greatness of God on his side. And I appreciate that when we go to the Lord, we know he's on our side. Now, all these things, you know, he uses, again, David has a great way with words to express some things that he felt about God's intervention on his behalf. And I'm not going to dwell on each of these, but nonetheless, you get the idea of the mighty power of God, and David understanding that that power was on his side because he cried out to God. And we can consider the same thing. I mean, Romans, well, I'm going to turn and read it. I wasn't going to, but I think I'm going to. Romans, the 8th chapter. I just want to read a couple of things here. Everybody knows verse 28, I think. We know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Verse 31 says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And I love that thought that God is on our side and the mighty power of the Almighty God is on our side. Verse 37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And David, you know, he uses words to kind of convey this thought about God's mighty power acting on his behalf. He bowed the heavens also. That's in verse 9 of our chapter. He bowed the heavens also and came down. He rode upon a cherub and did fly. He made darkness his secret place. It's just the thought that David brings about the great power of God that was on his side. Verse 13 says, the Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He shot out lightnings and discomfited them. See, David recognizes that the enemy, when the enemy was fleeing from before him, it was God's doing. Not that there were literally arrows coming out of the sky at his enemies from God, but that God was chasing them, if you will, in front of him and in front of his army. That is why they were running. And so he recognizes God's power in his behalf that is working. Verse 15 says, the channels of water were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. Another thought about the, mighty power of God to try to express how much it exceeds what we can even really think about. The foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. Things that are just hard to even comprehend, but he uses them to try to express the amazing power of God on his behalf. Verse 16, he sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. The thought about the waters speaks to us about the world and the world system, the troubled waters, if you will. And God brings us out of that. He protects us. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. But he brings us out of those waters. When I read this, I thought about Peter as well. Stepping out on that water, and it was tempestuous, and he did fine until he looked down at that water. But Jesus stretched out his hand and raised him up out of that water again. And he does the same from us. You know, we need to keep our eyes on our Lord and not on the things of this world. And he will lift us up above the tempestuous waves of the world in which we live, so that we are not drawn down into that tempestuous sea. Verse 17, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. And so again, David's recognition that his enemy was too strong. And this is important for us too, by the way, because we have an enemy that is too strong for us. And we need to recognize that. Some of God's people think, well, I can overcome Satan. I can take him. You know, let me at him. I can take him. Well, we need to recognize he's too strong for us. We can be victorious, and we can overcome the enemy because of our Lord and through our Lord, but not on our own. We don't have the strength on our own to overcome him. But we are more than conquerors, as we read earlier, through our Lord. And so he is the one that delivers us from the enemy. He is the one that delivers us from the power of the enemy over our lives, and from the power of sin over our lives. He is the deliverer. Verse 18, they prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. In other words, they were overtaking me, is the thought of that's translated prevented here. They were overtaking me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. That steadfastness that we can find in our Lord. You know, as we grow in our relationship with God and our faith grows as we take in God's word, we become more and more steadfast. In other words, the things that come our way, they don't shake us like they might otherwise do. And many things come our way. And I think all of us know we can just name a lot of things that come our way that would just shake us. But the Lord is our stay. He is the one that keeps us steadfast, if you will. The word stay, really, it means to be a support. And to me, I think of this as something in the way of construction or something. You put a support so that something it stays up. And the Lord is our support. You know, when the enemy would knock us down and knock us over, the Lord is our support that causes us to be able to stand. Verse 19, and this is one of my favorite verses here. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. He brought me forth into a large place. And we've thought about it being enlarged. And in this case here, I think the thought really is God moving the enemy away, if you will, clearing a space so that we have a space in which to be. He moves the enemy and pushes the enemy away from us and gives us a time of rest and a time deliverance, if you will. It says, he delivered me because he delighted in me. Aren't you glad that God delights in us? Not because of what we did. We had such a good lesson this morning, a good sermon this morning about why God delights in us. Because his son is in us, and he delights in his son. And I'm so glad that he delights in us. And because of that, He enlarges in front of us, if you will. He puts us in a large place. The thought about large place, a lot of times, you know, if you read the scripture, you'll see the word straight or straightened, which means to be in a narrow place or to be squeezed in. And nobody really likes that feeling of being kind of squeezed in, and especially if you think about the enemy squeezing you in, if you will, from all sides. And so the thought about the large place is really just the opposite, that God opens up and moves the enemy away. Verse 20, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. And so he speaks here about the righteousness. And again, this goes really well with what we had this morning, because we had a very good explanation of our righteousness, which comes because of Jesus Christ. And by faith, we lay hold of that. And as we yield to that life, as we yield to that righteous life of Christ in us, God certainly is recompensing us, if you will. He is showing his great favor upon his children that are yielded to the life of Christ. He speaks here about, I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. In other words, he sought after God. And just as a reminder, by the way, it's very clear as we study David's life that David wasn't a perfect man. So David's not really trying to tell us here that he was perfect. That's not the point he's trying to get across, but rather speaking to us about his, again, his relationship with God. Because the thing you find out about David is when he did fail, he immediately went to God. And he recognized his failure and threw himself on God's mercy. So yes, David failed, and you know we all fail. We're not better than David. We all fail from time to time. But you know what God desires, and what caused God to call David a man after his own heart was, again, David's attitude of, when I fail, I go to the Lord, and I know that I can go to him. And we do the same. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That comes again with this morning's message. Where does that justification come from? Well, it's because of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is righteous, and he has imputed unto us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful that we can go to him, and that because of our Lord Jesus Christ and that righteousness that we have, that has been declared on our behalf, God delights in us. And he recompenses us. Verse 24, therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands and his eyesight. The grace of God is amazing to me, that you can't, it's hard to just comprehend that God didn't just provide salvation, but even beyond that, he provided for us to have an inheritance, to have a reward. Not a reward because we're marvelous and wonderful, but a reward because we yielded to his working in our life. That's all he asks. That's all he desires of his people, to be yielded vessels in his hands. And he provides a recompense, a reward. I think I'm going to stop there tonight, because the next verse kind of starts another thought that goes down a little ways. And so that's about halfway through the chapter here. So I think I'm going to stop there. I think that's probably good. This is a longer chapter, but I enjoy the David praising the Lord here. And part of his praise is a statement about what God is to him. So that's one part of the praise. Another part is recognizing God's action on his behalf, recognizing God's faithfulness on his behalf. And yet another part of his praise is recognizing God's amazing grace in bringing him recompense and reward. And, you know, those are all kind of the things that we need to, that need to be a part of our praise as we speak to our Father, as we go to Him and we bring praise, these are all aspects of what we praise Him for. He is our strength, our fortress, our deliverer. He acts on our behalf. How many times, and how many times do we not even know? I always think about that. How many times we don't even know that God acted on our behalf? Many, many times. And He also is demonstrating His amazing grace in our lives as we yield to His working. That's all I had tonight. Any questions or comments?